deploy over capacity. I can achieve maximum velocity.
Hey, you're listening to New Soundwave, episode 8. And it is 8 because I double-checked before this show.
So what you're saying is you're sure?
I am positive.
Okay.
On the show this week, we have, in order that they appear on my screen, Chris Triplett, XV, JD, and John DeLuna. Gentlemen, how is it going?
Okay. I think I should appear higher on your screen than Chris.
Ouch.
That's a burn.
That is a burn.
That's a burn.
But maybe if his name, well, how does it show up? Is it alphabetic? Is that how it works? Or
yeah,
by adding?
It's
yeah, because I've got Brian, Chris, JD, and John, so that's alphabetical.
And this is interesting radio. So how's it going?
Fantastic.
That's awesome. Okay, this is New Soundwave, where we take I don't care. Let's just go ahead and get into the news. PS3 gets Netflix streaming in November. Does this matter? And honestly, I don't think it matters.
I think it does.
I think it's a good
thing.
I think it's a good thing for Netflix, but overall, I don't think it's a big deal in the console wars.
Well, no, because somebody who's going to get an Xbox 360 and could get the Netflix service anyway is probably already going to get Xbox Live, so the extra cost doesn't matter.
True. XV is correct.
But here's the deal. And I talked about this on my blog. That is the single point that Xbox people have been shoving down my throat for over a year now, is that no matter how I talk about how much extra you have to pay for the add-on peripherals for the Xbox, despite the fact both systems are the same price, you get more value out of the PS3, the one island that the Xbox people will run to is like, oh, we've got Netflix, so meh. Okay, now PS3 has Netflix, so what are you going to do? You know,
I'm going to continue watching Netflix on my Xbox and just...
And that's right. And, okay, so just you know, call it what it is. It's just you're just clinging to it because you like it, and that's fine. I'm not saying you in particular, I'm just saying in general... It's just been continually moving the goalpost. Well, it's a better system because we have Netflix. The online is better. And I agree, the online on the Xbox, it's still higher rated than on the PS3. But this is another equalizer in the war. And now it's like every Xbox person I've talked to that were the people that were claiming how awesome Netflix are now turning the other way and saying, oh, well, it's not that great of a feature, you know. It's, nah.
Okay, like, okay. Let me say this. I fully admit that the Xbox may not be the superior piece of hardware. I mean, the...
May not.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty
clear. Well, no, it's not the...
Hey, I'm on my third Xbox. It is definitely not the superior hardware.
You know,
they got great games, but I'm not going to say they're the superior hardware.
But, I mean, technology-wise, as far as, like, you know, the advancement, I mean, the games look basically the same on both systems. But the PS3 does have more hardware features going on. And the Netflix streaming is an equalizer in that arena. I'll give the edge, as far as the hardware goes, to the PlayStation 3. Software, I'm still leaning Xbox, but, I mean, there are a lot of good exclusives coming out for the PlayStation this holiday season. But, I mean, look at Forza 3. Forza 3 is, it may not look as good as Gran Turismo 5 is going to look, but I think most people are saying that Forza 3 will be a superior game because, well, Gran Turismo is basically kind of played. So... Software, I'm leaning Xbox. I just don't think that the PlayStation 3 has the momentum to overtake the Xbox to score second by the end of this console generation, and it absolutely has no capability whatsoever to reach number one, which is currently being held by, of course, the Wii.
Yeah, but did you hear the story that came? I mean, there's another story that popped today that Nintendo is saying is their profits are down.
Yeah,
so
everybody's hurting.
But in spite of that, the Wii had been doing extremely well, And that now that the PS3 and the Xbox 360, those prices have come down, I don't think they're seeing the same revenue returns that they were, especially since the economy is starting to turn around. I mean, we're out of the recession now.
Not yet.
We're baby steps, baby steps.
Baby steps.
Yeah, when people start getting jobs, they'll start having discretionary income again.
But if you want to talk about the Wii kind of losing momentum, it's mostly because at this point, everybody that wants a Wii has got one.
Basically, and the software lineup still sucks.
Yeah, because this holiday software lineup is pretty much New Super Mario Bros. Wii. That's it. Which looks awesome, but even I'm not totally looking forward. Like, I'm not going to buy that like day one or anything. I think it looks cool. But
I should,
but I'm not going to. It's not like Super Mario Galaxy 2, which will be a day one purchase.
I need to finish Super Mario Galaxy 1.
Yeah, I didn't even really like Super Mario Galaxy that much.
Oh, kick him off, Brian. Disconnect him right now. It's on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. No, it's okay. Okay.
You couldn't go forward without an apology.
Chris is too nice. NextV is just evil. Okay, GeoCities shuts down after many, many years of operation. We talked about this on Radio Free Cybertron, and I think really this really impacts more RFC and the Transformers than anything, because Transformers has just such a huge number of websites that were devoted to it on GeoCities. And of course, I mean, there are probably more as far as comic books and science fiction goes, but I would say that a larger percentage of the Transformers online universe is now gone. But I mean, is that like a big deal?
It's a sad footnote in history. I mean, you know, it's sad to see some stuff go. I mean, some stuff's archived, but not all of it's archived. And you would like to think, I guess lots of people would like to think that the internet just keeps going and going and growing and growing. So it's kind of sad to see, you know, part of it actually disappear.
How much stuff was on GeoCities that somebody hasn't moved somewhere else already?
Marvel Universe Transformed. That sort of hits both. Hey, Carl, if you're listening.
I kind of liken it to, like, the old buildings being torn down in the warehouse district. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, they used to mean something and they used to be cool, but, you know, they're just sort of decrepit and outdated and, you know, they just sort of need to go.
Don't let Rob Powers hear you say that.
Made that joke yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
I did make that joke. Yeah, well, if you don't want us to say the same things, don't recycle the topics. You know,
well, that's we just wasted all the good new Soundwave material on this yesterday on RFC. You know, when we should have focused just on how it impacts the Transformers fandom instead of the general ramifications of GeoCities closing down.
Yeah, but this is a testament to what true geeks we are.
Okay, so Internet Pioneer celebrates 40th birthday of Brainchild. I don't get this topic. What is this about?
I clicked the link and I still didn't know what you guys were talking about.
Okay,
is this not ARPANET? It's the 40th anniversary of what some consider to be the first occurrence of the Internet.
Right, which is a system-to-system transmission.
Right.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Internet. Porn wouldn't be the same without you.
That's exactly true. Okay, so DSI. We can skip that. DSI LL/XL. What the heck does that stand for?
Is that the name of it?
We're getting a new DSI. It's like 30% larger, the screen is. It's way bigger.
Actually, the screen is about 90% larger.
90% larger.
Yeah, that's one of the articles called.
Is it a netbook?
Basically, it's a netbook with a touch screen and cameras.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I never really put two and two together. Japanese gaming console with cameras and touch screen. Just like the possibilities are disgusting and endless. I mean, there are going to be so many almost laid simulators out there. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, there's already one.
What is it?
I posted a link to it a while back. I think we lost. Oh, here it is. It's called Virtual Girlfriend Love Plus.
That's great.
That's a great name.
that is really great. So it's going to cost 20,000 yen, which is currently about 220 American dollars. It'll be released November 21st, and you cannot transfer DSiWare titles from your old DSi. I didn't expect that. Anyway, that's
well, you couldn't do it on the old DSi, but they did say that if so, like you bought stuff and your system dies, then you have to purchase a new system. I think you can transfer it to the new system, but you have to send it to Nintendo. Nintendo has to do it. I mean, there's no license transfer tool or something for consumers. That's stupid.
Yeah, that sounds like it kind of sucks all the way around.
But at least that's an option, because if you purchase stuff on the Wii, you like WiiWare titles, your system dies, you're done, you can't get it back. As far as really? I know, there's no way to transfer that right now. You basically have to buy it again, which is crap if you ask me. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, that's kind of sucky for Nintendo right now, isn't it?
Yeah. They better fix that at some point.
Yeah, that totally needs fixing. Okay, let's get into the discussion topics for this week. Topic one, are video game strategy guides still relevant? I'm going to say yes. Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say.
You don't think so.
No, really? Okay.
Like paper strategy guides, you go into a store and buy strategy guides?
Yeah,
no.
I mean, I buy
analog. Analog strategy guides?
I don't know. I don't
Prima,
keep a,
Brady games, what have you?
Yeah, I don't keep
no.
a, I don't keep no. a PC or a laptop or a netbook beside of my computer. I mean, beside of my game console, and I don't want to print it out because I want nice, pretty pictures of what a combo should look like in a fighting game. Of course, I mean, I use GameFAQs religiously for the few RPGs I play. But if it comes down to like a fighting game where I want to see like a specific stance or location, I absolutely.
YouTube video. I mean, why?
That's a very valid point.
That is a valid point. But again, I don't keep with a handheld game. Yeah, because I can sit in front of my computer with it. But
you have a netbook, Brian. I mean, does that not?
I don't do that.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think what Chris is trying to say is that it's your own personal failing for not gaming right next to a computer.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think the Brian's point. To Brian's point, I think they're like basically glorified art books now. And so it's really, really important now that they look really nice and they're really slick. And it's kind of like a geeky coffee table book. You know, I mean,
exactly.
It's about the aesthetics.
I think the last strategy guide that I purchased for anything might have been like Soul Calibur 2, maybe. Is that what it was?
I have a strategy guide for Soul Calibur 2. Soul Calibur 1 and Soul Calibur 4. Screw Soul Calibur 3. It sucks.
I can tell you exactly what the last strategy guide I ever bought was. It was for Mega Man Battle Network 5.
You bought a strategy guide for Mega Man Battle Network?
Mega Man Battle Network 5?
I like Mega Man Battle Network 5, but that's a topic for another show. Thank you.
They're good games. I'm just making funny. I'm sorry.
Well,
I apologize, Chris.
Will
he apologize to you?
No.
Yeah. No, he would not.
I regret nothing.
So, well, I mean, my problem with strategy guides as of late, I mean, I used to be a big fan of strategy guides. I mean, I was like a Nintendo Power subscriber. Strategy guides used to be something that you would use, and it would give you a complete walkthrough of the game, go through every level, tell you what you needed to do, tell you what needed to hit. My experience with strategy guides as of late is that they've been glorified instruction booklets, and that the information that I found therein really wasn't that in-depth or helpful, and depending on when the strategy guide was published, was even out of date at some times. Mm-hmm. So it's like I would rather go online, get a walkthrough where I know some min-maxer has been through the game, they know the stuff to hit, and I can, yeah, you have to print it off, you know, if you don't want to have a computer next to it. But, I mean, so what? I mean, I've made little combo guides and stuff. I did that for Mortal Kombat all the time. My wife and I both.
Plays Mortal Kombat?
Oh, dude, she loves fighting games. Yeah.
Oh, she's even more awesome now.
Yeah, and Castlevania, that's like another game series that she loves. But
oh,
anyway.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Say that
and
slow.
And you wonder why we got married. I was like, this is a keeper.
But fighting games in Castlevania, I mean, I wouldn't care. you know, if she had legs, what she looked like. Those are two of my favorite things.
That's quite a compromise.
So, what was I saying? Strategy guides, yes. Waste of money. I mean, even she, like, and I'm talking, like, again, this was before we met, like, she would download the strategy guides from online to use to play those games. Because even she realized it was pretty much a waste of money to actually buy strategy guides. I've always been disappointed.
I think JD's on the right track here in that most of the time you get more complete and accurate information from a guide a player has written rather than someone who's hired to play the game and write the book.
But the people who are writing those books are gamers. I know people who write those books. I've been in the car for 16 hours with one of those.
Yes,
people.
I know, and that is why I bought Mega Man Battle Network 5 guide.
That is a good point. We're supporting our buddies. Mega Man is, of course, you know, M-Cypher. He's a
right.
Mega Man fanatic, so, you know, I will give you that.
Right, and that's why I bought the guide. He wrote it, and, you know, there was a point for me to get it.
Yeah, so if you want to buy a guide, make sure it's written by Greg Sepulak.
Yes.
One problem I started having with strategy guides, which I don't know if – since I haven't bought one in several years, I don't know if this is something that's pretty still popular with them. But there was like a Final Fantasy strategy guide I got at one point where the majority of the guide actually referenced you to their website.
Oh, that utterly sucks.
You would get
to
something.
I've never seen one like that.
You would get to something. They had a Squaresoft website. I guess they were Squaresoft at that point. And there'd be a key code. You had to buy the guide, and then you would log onto the website and then enter the key code in order to find out whatever information was in it. It was the biggest waste of money I've ever spent on anything.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
So, yeah, I hate strategy guides. I will come down against them. I mean, if you want to, like you said, support someone that's writing them, that I'd say that's a good idea. But as far as the use of strategy guides now, I think that they're dead.
Okay, now see, one thing for me that's always been a selling point with game guides has been when they have, like, good complete maps, especially if there's complicated navigation involved in the game. That's one thing you can't get with, like, GameFAQs. Because
right.
That's all text. They don't usually have maps for games.
They'll do it in ASCII or they.
Yeah, they try to do ASCII, but it's kind of hard to
ASCII.
Yeah,
or they'll do screen
same.
Grabs. I was recently playing through Dragon Warrior 2, on my Game Boy Advance Color, Game Boy Color, and there was a whole score of maps that someone had went in and captured through Nesticle or some other emulator, and it worked great. It was a lifesaver.
Yeah. Well, see, that's pretty much the thing. A printed guide is great to have because it's with you. It's right there. You can look at anywhere you are. You don't have to have a computer, and it can have stuff in it sometimes that you just usually can't get with something online.
Okay.
I don't know that the strategy guides are completely irrelevant. In some cases, I think they can kind of work with the online stuff that's almost replacing them.
Okay, by extension, if gaming strategy guides are iffy, what about gaming magazines? I am a firm believer that there needs to be gaming magazines because it was part of my childhood. You know, coming home and finding the new issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly or Game Informer or Next Gen or even Game Pro. I subscribe to all of those. Electronic Gaming Monthly just died in January. It's Steve Harris is bringing it back, which I am very excited about. But in general, are gaming magazines irrelevant?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the same thing as with the guides. You can get all the same information online and usually more up to date.
Oh, absolutely more up to
date. Yeah,
more a matter of nostalgia if you want to have the book in your hands and read the information.
I'd rather have the book if I had to choose one, but yeah, they're pretty much, I mean, in my opinion, dead. I mean, what's out there now is Game Informer, Game Pro.
And there are some people who are doing a handful of, like, ClassicVGM.com. I think they're about to release their second retro gaming magazine.
Is there a PC Mag somewhere?
I'm certain there is. There has to be.
There was. There was a PC Gamer. I used to subscribe to that.
So So, Chris, are you going to get Electronic Gaming Monthly once Steve Harris brings it back?
Depends on the price. I mean, I think it's going to be, if anything, it might be subscription-based, which will make it a little bit more expensive, but it might be worth it. So, I don't know. It depends on how expensive it is.
Okay, let's go. Next topic, which is, what is the next topic? Oh, Halloween. Halloween is coming up on Saturday. What are some of our favorite TV specials, episodes, movies, etc., etc., etc.?
Like everything?
Everything? Yours is like something Charlie, maybe it's something like Charlie Brown.
Yeah, everybody likes Charlie Brown.
I love the Great Pumpkin.
The Great Pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. That's classic. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, are there any movies that really scared the crap out of us? I mean, as a kid, for some reason, A Nightmare on Elm Street 4 scared me to death. And
for me, it's White Chicks. Terrifying.
Boom.
Friday the 13th, Part 6, also thanks, JD, and I am now paranoid. Friday the 13th, Part 6, also scared me. But since then, we haven't really had anything that's really... I mean, most movies now are just gore fests. I mean, Saw is... They're uniformly crap. I saw My Bloody Valentine 3D earlier this year, and it was awesome. It wasn't scary.
They're mostly more fun now. It's like people like just like you said, like just gory, kind of over the top, just fun, kind of violent movies. And that's kind of like what horror is now. We don't really get kind of scary horror anymore. Like,
it's becoming a parody of itself, isn't it?
Yeah, like I ran into Drag Me to Hell. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to be more laughs than scares.
Yeah, I mean, that's Sam Raimi's movie, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the Sam Raimi movie. That's why I rented it.
I love me some Sam Raimi, but, I mean, horror really isn't really... I mean, he has made horror movies, but they're not scary. They're campy. They're fun. They're action-packed.
Now, if you want to talk about real horror, you need to like look across the pond. You need to look like in like Japan or like some other countries, because they're actually still making good horror. We're just making big budget, you know, gore fests, like you're saying.
And then we're importing them, like Ringu. We imported that, and it was The Ring. Big whoop. Who cares?
Well, I'm not talking about Ringu. This came out like years ago. I can't remember the name of it. Shoot.
Are you talking about?
Is it
both fail right now, aren't you?
God.
Well, there's also like Let the Right One In. That's a good one.
There you go.
The European vampire movie. And they're going to Americanize that one. But the original's good.
Audition. Is that what you're talking about, Chris?
Audition. That's what it was.
That's
yeah.
not horror. That's crap.
Oh, is it crap? Everybody loves it. I haven't seen it. I'm just saying.
It's more the same shock glock garbage. I mean, it may be good. It may be the best example of it, but it's still the same kind of crap that you get in Saw.
But that's not necessarily a gore fest, is it? I thought it was more of like creating the horror in your mind, almost like what you don't see is more terrible than what you do see type of stuff.
I'm virtually certain in that movie you see plenty.
Oh. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've just heard people talk about it and talk about a particular scene where you don't see any gore, but the gore is created in your mind is what's so great about the movie.
Now, I've only seen the first Saw movie, though, but I seem to think that was actually kind of good, but okay.
No, they get progressively worse, I think.
Well, and maybe down the line, but I'm just saying, like, for, you know, to be fair, I thought the first movie was, you know.
I enjoyed the first Saw movie. I thought it was okay, and it had a guy from Princess Bride in it, so it can't be bad.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, it just sort of jumped the shark. Okay. I gotta get it in, you know.
Yeah.
But, But to be honest, like, I've just never been a fan of scary movies or horror movies. It's just not, I don't know. I just never grew up really watching them, so.
Yeah, it never really appealed to me.
Okay, it looks like we're going to have to let John go. Hey, John, thanks for being on. We will talk at you next week on RFC. Thanks, guys. You're welcome. Okay, that was my John impression. Yeah, I'm not a very good John.
Wait, what was that? Wait.
There you go.
Wait. I want to hear more fake John before I duck out of here.
It's like, hey, nice. I'm John. I can't do impressions. Never mind.
I was going to smoothly fade away since, to pull back the curtain, this has been a full night of production for us.
It has been.
So I'm going to fade away right now. And,
yeah, we're working into our third hour right now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like a marathon of radio goodness.
Yeah, we have been going on for about – for XV, yeah, we've all been going except for Chris for about 3 hours now. Wow.
Yeah.
I have accomplished nothing. Actually, no, the biggest accomplishment of my adult life perhaps was this evening.
Happened an hour ago.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to write a fanfic about it. RFC.
Yeah, you'll hear more about it later. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to write a fanfic about it in which RFC turns into an Autobot. And
So, Chris, you were talking about Audition. I admittedly have not watched it I'm not seeing it. From my understanding, it's just more of the same. It's just more intellectual. I'll go in.
More Saw, more Hostel or something. Is that what it's supposed to be?
Oh, I hated Hostel. Oh, God.
I didn't see it. I mean, like, I that's not the kind of horror that I like. I don't like the...
I just like slasher stuff. I like seeing Jason.
Like the new Friday the 13th movie, I loved it.
I absolutely loved that movie.
It was awesome.
And it was great. Okay, so let's go ahead and we are now on a 30-minute window per show to make it more fun, more exciting, more new sound wave.
Less
pain to listen to. So, last topic for the week. On the blogs. Hey, guys, what have you posted on your blog this week? XV.
Well, I posted a few days ago about Stargate Universe Episode 5, which I kept mistakenly calling Episode 4 because I'm stupid. I touched a little bit on why I think Stargate Universe is bad.
Okay.
So,
you've got your slog. You posted a new slog today about a find at McDonald's, which is interesting.
Yes, I found something kind of gross.
Something gross and special.
Yeah.
In your food.
I'd rather just forget about that.
JD,
why I immortalized it on the internet.
Exactly. That's exactly what I do. Please never Google my name. JD, what's on your blog?
Well, mainly I've got my whole rant and tirade about the Netflix, Xbox, PS3. So check that out if you want more.
Yeah, that was some good stuff.
XV and I were really impressed with that. We thought that was really good. You need to start writing more of that awesome stuff.
I mean, you almost sold me on a PS3 just by how good a writer you are.
Exactly.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm still not going to buy one, but almost. You came close.
Oh, well, good. You know, that's you know, right. It counts.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, you don't have a blog, but what's on your Twitter feed this week?
Yeah, what's up with that? I don't have a blog.
You don't want a blog.
I never said that. I just said I probably wouldn't write on it.
I don't want to have an empty
blog. It's the same thing I said, and I got one forced on me anyway.
He likes it.
Not much is going on with Twitter except for the realization that Short Circuit 3 should totally happen now.
I heard that someone said that they're remaking it. Are they remaking Short Circuit?
I haven't heard that, but that would be awesome. I was just saying that because the other day I was watching Short Circuit on Netflix, and I watched some of Short Circuit 2, and I was like, God, they need to make Short Circuit 3. I would totally see that.
Yeah, that would be
Johnny 5.
Yeah.
With this 4 MB hard drive.
Yeah, MTV. Short Circuit remake taps Paul Blart Mall Cop director Steve Carr to keep something. Yeah, they're remaking Short Circuit.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
One thing I wanted to say is that if anybody – I know how much we love The Rock here on New Soundwave because we talk about him like all the time.
We talk about
loved him in handcuffs.
Yeah. him and Will Smith. Have you guys heard anything about a Johnny Quest live action movie or something?
What the crap?
Apparently, I was just kind of looking. There's this new movie that's coming out. It's a CG kind of kids movie where The Rock's doing
Planet
the voice.
Planet 51.
Yeah, Planet 51. The Rock's doing the voice of like an astronaut.
I thought it was Will Smith.
No, it's Dwayne Johnson. It's The Rock. But I was checking because they said Dwayne Johnson is the star in it, and I was like, is that really him? Because it didn't sound like him in the commercial. So I went and kind of did a Wikipedia search just to make sure, and I saw that he's been credited for being Race Bannon in a Johnny Quest movie.
Oh, holy crap! But, that sounds awesome.
So I don't know if this is true.
Reliable as IMDb.
Yeah, I mean, it's not reliable or anything, but, you know, if it happened, I think it would be awesome.
But I think The Rock should be Dr. Quest instead.
Dr. Quest?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who's going to be Johnny?
I don't know. It didn't
be
say.
Johnny 5.
Exactly.
But I just thought that was worth noting because, dude, Johnny Quest, live action, Rock is Race Bannon. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Wow. And then I guess Haji could be the actor from Slumdog Millionaire.
that's racist. Okay, so on my blog this week we have not much, just some random jibber jabber, and also oh, you suck, JD.
Good work, JD.
Yeah,
you made it so he can never talk again.
Yeah, this podcast is over.
I've been trying to do that for a decade.
Yeah, JD is more capable.
Apparently so.
We have a tour of the office/studio in which I produce all this crap. That's up there, as well as some interesting finds from this past weekend, including Supreme Animated Optimus Prime for $20. And I think the most important find was The New Adventures of He-Man, Volume 1 on DVD, for $4.99. Hit up your Ross, people. $4.99, worth every penny of that. Go out and get it.
You need to find me a Volume 2.
I want to find me a Volume 2 first, but then yes, you.
Yeah.
Okay.
JD, somebody to find him Volume 1 still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have none.
Okay. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up this show? We've hit our 30-minute mark successfully for the second week in a row. Anything else? Any final thoughts?
Don't forget, V is going to start on November 3rd, so it's
on ABC, right?
Channel? It's on ABC. ABC, yep.
Cool.
Okay, what else? Anything else? XV, you.
When do I ever have anything to talk about?
Chris, you.
Oh, nothing. Sorry.
Okay, tune in to Radio Free Cybertron for yesterday, if you didn't, if you're one of the three listeners that is exclusive to this show. We have the Halloween special with lots of awesome stuff. And next week, we will have a bona fide Transformers celebrity.
A very special sit-down with
Joe Ibe,
a well-known personality.
Joe Ibe, also known amongst Transformers fans as the Metal Hawk guy. That will be up next week. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being on. And we will talk to you again next week.
All right.
Maximum velocity.